Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the long box guys gonna do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the long box guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange, and with me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. LT, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Cardew Scotch. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing great. My next-door neighbor has just replenished my bar. He sometimes calls over and says he's out and will just grab everything off the top of my bar, and he replaced it with like 6 gallons of whiskey. I am flush at the moment.
What type of whiskey are you drinking, Tommy?
Famous Grouse, because I've seen the bottle before, but I don't think I've ever tried it, so this is my first taste ever of Famous Grouse. Mm-hmm. That's an okay whiskey.
way to talk it up.
Josh, we don't diss what we hate. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am drinking what I have dubbed Groot's Top Hat. This is root beer and Pimm's.
Ooh, Pimm's, you say? Very fancy. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, but I didn't have a chance to get over the Growler Factory today, so I'm just drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper.
And that's not a euphemism for something delicious. That's just a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I won't be funny or nearly as hostile to you guys this week.
Oh.
We'll try to say something to piss you off, you ugly bastard. Wow, even there, huh? Okay.
Sorry, too even killed.
Too even killed to care. Speaking of even killed, Zatanna has always been one of the more steadfast magicians in the DC or Marvel universe. Most of our magic folks seem to have something like terribly, terribly wrong with them. But Zatanna has always struck me as being kind of one of our more normal magic users. This week we're going to be talking about Zatanna, some of the comic books and books she's been in, some of the cartoons she's been in, and her overall legacy. Mikey, are you the guy Gia's with giving us this week's Zatanna backstory?
I am not. That's LT. He volunteered for it last week.
That's right, Tommy. You weren't paying attention because you were drunk.
I was just hoping not to have to listen to you drone on for 15 minutes.
Oh, I will try to keep it short then. Zatanna was created by Gardner Fox and Murphy Anderson. She first appeared in Hawkman number 4 in November of 1964. She's the daughter of Giovanni John Zatara. She is a member of the Homo Magi, a subrace of magic humans in the DC Universe. She joined the Justice League in JLA 161 in the Seven Soldiers of Victory storyline by Grant Morrison. It is revealed that John Zatara's books of magic were written for her and that she was his greatest spell and gift to the world. Zatanna is a skilled illusionist, stage magician, and she's skilled in martial arts. Her father trained her from a young age to be able to defend herself with and without her magic. She is one of the few magic users that I have seen in comic books that actually practices to keep up her skills, just like a martial artist would work out in a gym. She has flashcards with spells on them that she practices with. She also has access to a large store of magical items and tomes in her ancestral home that she often goes to pick up and use. And sometimes she will trap her enemies by using her ancestral home as a place to get stuff and use to trap people. In the Paul Dini written Zatanna stories from 2010, I believe it was. She was also a bit of a playgirl. She played the field a bit, picking up guys after shows etc. and so forth. And she's also been a love interest of John Constantine, and they always have this sort of love-hate relationship with each other throughout the comic books. She has her magical powers typically by spelling things backwards is how she casts her spells. Sometimes when she's gagged, she will use other devices to spell things backwards to get rid of her gags, or she'll write in either blood or whatever she has available to write backwards to cast her spells. Was that succinct enough for you, Tommy?
LT, that was actually terrific. Good job.
Nice job. As a side note, Tom, the spell you're trying to pronounce from Dungeons & Dragons is pronounced Gesh.
I always thought it was Giezd.
No, it's Irish. It's Gesh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much. I've been pronouncing that incorrectly my entire life. That is a good note, and I thank you for that.
He does not appreciate that note. He does
not
at all.
Not at all. Not at all. Nope.
Fun Alex fact. Can you guys tell me Giovanni Zatara's first appearance? It's a famous comic from the Golden Age.
No.
Famous comic from the Golden Age. I'll say The Phantom.
That's a series. That's not the comic. I was referring to Action Comics number one. He appears in the same issue as Superman, original appearance. And he was he's a ripoff of Mandrake the Magician, except for the fact that he spoke backwards.
So that's
kind of why I was going with the whole Phantom thing.
Yeah.
So that's probably why Action Comics number one is so valuable.
That's exactly why Action Comics number one is so valuable. It is not just because it's the first appearance of Superman, but more importantly. Giovanni.
The Mandrake the Magician ripoff.
Yeah.
Zatara, isn't it?
Yeah. That's exactly why it is. Fun Alex fact. Shadowcrest, Zatanna's ancestral home, is one of the more powerful houses, but it is not one of the magic houses of the DC universe, like House of Mystery and House of Secrets. And she is one of the few known vegetarians in the DC universe. The other prominent vegetarian being
Animal Man.
Yes, sir.
Also, Hank McCoy, also prominent vegetarian, he recently stated in a comic book that he often ate at Veggie Galaxy in Cambridge, Massachusetts when he was a visiting professor at Harvard.
Also, Beast Boy, prominent vegetarian in DC Universe.
Wow, nice. Oh, very good. I guess if you could turn into a cow, you don't fucking want to eat a cow.
Yeah. Good thing you can't turn into Brussels sprouts. Those are delicious.
Yeah. You know who can? Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man.
It's true.
It's true.
He doesn't have qualms about any of that.
What does he eat? So hungry, but so torn.
Tasty, tasty oil.
So, Josh, what's your favorite Zatanna series?
I don't have one. I've really honestly never read anything. I mean, she appeared in comics I read, but
her in Young Justice?
In cartoon, yeah, not in comics.
Counts.
I didn't really read the Young Justice. I think she pokes her head in Books of Magic a couple of times, but wasn't really a character I was super invested in. I mean, I love everything about Young Justice, so yes, she's in there. And I found it pretty amusing today when someone even more bored than I am on the internet decided to compile a list of all the spells she cast in every episode of Young Justice, which I found pretty hilarious and fun reading to figure out what she was actually trying to do. It was fun. I like reading that.
As far as the animated goes, she was in one of my favorite episodes of Batman the Animated Series, where she has to team up with Batman, who you find out he learned his escape artistry from her dad. And they had a little bit of a relationship when they were younger. And the Justice League cartoon, she has one of the best appearances ever, because Batman and Wonder Woman encounter Cersei. Wonder Woman gets turned into a pig. Batman goes and enlists Zatanna and the Bwana Beast for help.
That's right.
How desperate do you have to be to go? You know who we need? Wannabeast.
Wannabeast.
You gotta find a pig. You
need that is a great episode. And the whole Batman singing at the end is fantastic.
Trivia question. What does Batman sing?
Something with the word blue in it.
Am I blue?
Am I blue? That is it. Am I blue? That is a terrific one. When Heath Ledger died, do you know who his emergency contact number was?
Zatanna?
It was both the Olsen twins. I'm just saying, like, Batman's go-to guy for this one had to be Bwanabeast. Of all the priest people to go to in an emergency, I think the Olsen twins and the Bwanabeast had to be way at the bottom of my list.
It would have been better if it was the Bwanabeast was his emergency contact. He'd be like,
yeah.
All right, Bwanabeast, did Heath Ledger choke himself to death? All right, I'll be right over.
One of my favorite series is the Paul Dini's Black Canary and Zatanna Bloodspell. I've talked about it before when we did Black Canary. It is an awesome comic book. You should check that out. And her four issues in the Seven Soldiers of Victory run was also great, but I love everything Grant Morrison does.
Yeah. I really liked Paul Dini's 2010 series. I thought it was great. Just great little mostly one-shot stories. Some of them were strung along into greater arcing storylines, but it was just great.
I really liked her in both Justice League Dark, where she takes my more prominent role along with John Constantine to kind of lead the group. They both kind of take – I wouldn't say they take turns leading, but they're the two people that usually have to lead it because they're the ones in the most know. I really found that fun. I really enjoyed also her – short-lived single series. I think you've been talking about that, LT. My favorite issue of that one was, I think it was the third or second issue, where Felix Faust had placed a spell on her that if she tried to speak backwards, it came out forwards, and if she tried to speak forwards, it came out backwards. Fortunately, she had memorized about 20 spells that were palindromes, yeah. And one of them made it rain kayaks. Which was hilarious. I can't remember how she did it to be a perfect palindrome. Kayak, of course, is a palindrome, so it was probably in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, it was pretty great when she did the palindrome spells.
The palindrome spells were hilarious. And part of that was the fact that she practices her spells all the time. Her brother was giving her shit about that earlier in the comic book. You know, we can just say stuff backwards. Why do we have to practice? She's like, you never know what's going to happen. And that very, like, she knew, like, foreshadow city, guys.
Yeah, that's her cousin, by the way, not her brother.
Yeah, her cousin Zachary.
Oh, so it was okay that they fucked.
That was a weird segue.
Wow.
I don't believe
you read a different comic than I did.
Was it?
She also plays a key central figure in Identity Crisis because she is the one who turns Dr. Light into a joke and brainwashes Batman.
I was going to say, she's got kind of a tangled history with Batman. Batman really is kind of cold towards her because he has a feeling that she changed him in some way. And for a long time, he was kind of cold towards Zatanna and didn't trust her in the comics.
Her original storyline, Gardner Fox created her for that Hawkman series, but he also wrote stories for Detective Comics and Green Lantern for her trying to track down her father.
Yeah, she fights her dead father a lot.
Yeah, it's
way more than other people fight their dead fathers.
Yeah, it's kind of a reoccurring theme with her having daddy issues.
Well, if you count the predilection towards alcoholism, I fight my father like every single goddamn night. Come on, Dad. I'll take you, you bastard. Too dark?
Did get a little dark.
Got a little dark there?
Got a little real.
A little real?
So one of my favorite things about Zatanna is I don't have a lot of original art, nothing like LT. But one of the things I do have is the writer artist for Archie Comics, Dan Parent, did a Veronica dressed like Zatanna for me. And I fucking love that. That when I finally do settle down, that's going to be framed and prominently in my office.
Yeah, he did a Veronica for me too.
We don't talk about that.
Is Dan Parent doing like some weird BDSM underground Veronica?
We can't talk about it.
Betty stuff.
All right, and
I do love his art though. Everything he draws is so great, and I've really been enjoying Die Kitty Die. Have you guys been keeping up with that?
Yes, I've been a part of all his Kickstarters for that.
Ah, terrific stuff. Just saying.
So I was rereading a whole bunch of the Zatannas this weekend, and I came across one of my favorite lines ever in a comic book. She is fighting this all-powerful sorcerer, and he's dressed like Zatara in, you know, the top hat and tails. And she tells him that he's got a stupid beard. And this guy's line to her is, "Liar, it's a magnificent beard, and I know you want one. Ha, 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 ha." It's just such a weird line. I was like, I love this. I got to take a little photo of this. This is a keeper. Sorry. Just little things about Zatanna I love.
That's okay. We know you're not drinking. We're not expecting any material tonight.
Trying to be nice.
That's okay, Mike. Nice. I like your beard jokes. Keep them coming, Mike. Maybe it's just because you're not yelling at me. Maybe, Mike.
Maybe she's just afraid of the beard hunter.
The beard hunter! So I said my favorite. Josh, I think you said you didn't have one. Tom, you said your favorite. So are there any like side things on Zatanna that we like? I did like the you said it was her cousin. I thought it was her brother for some reason. I think her extended family can sometimes be fun, including her brother, her cousin, who is often on the wrong side of the law, but never terribly deep.
I really like her. I don't want to say assistant, but her crew member, Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, who's in charge of the props and stuff. She's cool.
Yeah, her carpenter / prop master / stage crew manager, Mickey, was really great. And she was actually pretty instrumental in saving Zatanna when Zatanna was turned into a puppet in one of the Baldini comics. And I really like her. She's a good character.
I love the whole puppet
Puppet storyline was great.
It was like 3 or 4 issues. That was great. She also appeared in the Books of Magic as one of the teachers for Tim Hunter, but only briefly. She wasn't one of the guides for him. In fact, I think she was telling Constantine, "What the fuck are you doing with this kid?"
I'm
surprised, actually. I think Zatanna's a pretty good candidate for one of the primetime DC shows. The popularity of stuff like, you know, like Supernatural and all that stuff, it seems like she'd be a pretty good fit for that sort of endeavor.
She did make some live action debut in Smallville.
Okay.
And I think she would be perfect for the small screen too, just because they could delve into the whole world of magic, which they haven't really been able to do over in the Arrowverse, really, yet. It would be a whole different kind of show, which would make it really cool.
Swamp Thing's coming to DC Universe Online, right? So maybe we'll start to see that.
She's one of the few characters that can dance between the DC superhero world and the Vertigo supernatural world.
I was going to say, in the Arrow universe, they did bring in Constantine, both for the Arrowverse and for the Heroes of Tomorrowverse.
Legends of Tomorrow.
What did I say?
You said Heroes of Tomorrow.
We know you like to be corrected.
It's a running gag with my wife, and I love doing it. What did I say?
What?
All right, so anything else about Zatanna?
Love the costume.
Yeah, she's had a bunch of different costumes, but I think the traditional one with the top hat and tails and fishnet stockings is probably her best costume.
And I mean, it's very iconic. I mean, you see that costume, and you know, if a guy's wearing that costume, you know he's not doing Zatara, he's doing Zatanna. You know, anyone can do that costume, and you know, you immediately get the visual that it's not Nubia, it's not someone like that character. It is just that character.
And she does have one of the better ways of changing the costume. She just does a spell and it starts changing on her. So that could translate really well with special effects nowadays to a live action series.
Oh, she could do the whole Sailor Moon change.
She wouldn't need to, though.
She could, though, you son of a fucking bitch! Don't fucking take this from me!
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Tom, she could. She could absolutely do a Sailor Moon type thing, and you could have a brief interlude where you get one little panty shot of her. Yes, Tom. Yes.
What? Wow. Make it sound like that's too much to ask for in life. I'm 50-something years old. For God's sakes, give me some joy!
Here's a little joy. She was a member of Justice League Detroit.
Oh.
I wonder who's been in the most Justice Leagues. Justice League Detroit, Justice League Dark, Justice League
of America.
Right. Yeah.
I'd say probably the Flash.
Yeah, I was going to go with one of the Flashes.
Yeah,
because they can clean up in a quick, get that Hall of Justice clean really quick.
Plus, they can visit. They can make all the meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday at 4? All right, what, Tuesday at 8? I can make it.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right, Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for us, my brother?
Go to the back of the long box. I got to get out my notes for the front of the long box.
You got it.
Alrighty.
Damn it, Mikey's pulling out notes. This is going to be long and tedious. Oh, you were still on. Sorry, Mikey. What do you got there, Tommy?
I've got Batman Gothic from Legend of the Dark Knight. This originally appeared in Legend of the Dark Knight 6 through 10, but you can get it in collected edition through Comixology, or you can read them on the DC app. Originally, the Comixology was released in July of 2015. This was written by Grant Morrison. This is a great little five-issue series that tells the story of Batman going up against Mr. Whisper. He is a villain who was a monk that made a deal with the devil to be alive for 300 years. And he is a real nasty piece of work. He was a monk turned totally and completely bad. Instead of being a pious person, he decided to go completely in the other direction, and he has a master plan to take Gotham and turn it into a plague city, and Batman has to stop him. And it was a really great series. The artwork was just okay, but the writing was fantastic.
What does it benefit this 300-year-old monk if Gotham becomes a plague city?
He's just kind of pissed off because it's nearing his end of his life.
Oh.
And he's turned dark and twisted and evil, so.
So fuck everybody. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
He sold his soul to the devil.
Sold his soul to the devil, and he's trying to get out of the deal.
This would make an excellent movie, by the way, just because they could actually do a Batman movie without spending $100 million on the budget. They could just do it as a noir film.
Because it is a very dark film, a dark story. It takes place in the shadows a lot, has a lot of cathedral shots, a lot of picturesque locations you could pick in Europe, because he does go back and forth between Germany and Gotham.
Not Notre Dame. That's too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box, my friend?
At the front of the long box, I'm going into the television, and I'm pulling out Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
You bastard, that's not in the front at all.
I have watched every episode, God help my soul, and it is, well, it's a piece of crap.
It is a piece of crap. My wife made me watch it because Dean Cain was in it.
I will say that it has some of the greatest guest stars on any comic book show without actually being a really good show.
It's true. They had some great guest stars. That is absolutely true.
Including Cress Williams, who is currently playing Black Lightning. He was a villain in it. Adam West, Frank Gorsham, Mac Davis, Shelley Long, Tony Curtis, Jonathan Frakes, our friend of the podcast and karaoke friend. If you want to look for episodes that actually have supervillains, Bronson Pinchot plays the prankster, and he's just charming as all hell in two different episodes. One of my favorite episodes, even though most of it's Drek, is Season's Greetings, which stars Sherman Helmsley as the toy man and Isabel Sanford as his assistant. And he turns everybody greedy by having a doll that sprays a gas that makes everybody want this doll.
They were adorable in that, by the way.
They were adorable in it. And here's a little fun Eileen fact. That episode was written by Dean Cain. There you go. Okay.
You can
flood her basement with that kind of information, LT. also,
you can drown a toddler in her underwear after she finds that one out.
Too soon.
The last time she drowned a toddler in her underpants? What?
I hope she has someone said on this podcast.
She does. None of our wives do.
Bruce Campbell is Bill Church Jr., him and his father, Peter Boyle, who we know starred in Puchinsky. They are the head of...
We all know.
They are the head of Inner Gang. Justine Bateman plays a Kryptonian. And do you remember the guy she dated on Family Ties?
Nick the Garbage Man?
Yeah. He's played by a guy named Scott Valentine, who also played Mentallo on the series. So there's a little Family Ties tie-in for you.
Nice.
Antonio Sabato Jr. plays Deathstroke, but not that Deathstroke.
A different Deathstroke.
Harry Anderson is Big Head. Drew Carey is a con man. Delta Burke is probably one of my favorite supervillains, the Wedding Destroyer. And all she does is wreck people's weddings, which is hilarious.
And by the way, shouldn't Harry the Hat have been the Mad Hatter?
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely, yeah.
Howie Mandel is Mr. Mitzi Pitalik.
A good fit there.
And
he had a Christmas episode where he turned everyone depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Christmas episodes were probably the best.
The Christmas episode was pretty weird. He made everyone so depressed that they started committing suicide. Like Pa Kent commits suicide because he's so damn depressed. It was awful.
They're going to lose the farm. You can't help it.
Can't help it. This is the only way out.
And this. They pull a character out of the Silver Age, a villain named Tempus, who is in every fucking... he's got like four or five different storylines. He's just a reoccurring villain. He's so popular that he's even more popular in polling as their favorite villain than Lex Luthor, who is actually not very entertaining at all. So I was just watching an episode yesterday. He plays the perfect villain because he's from the future and he's super petty. He's got a mind control device that is allowing everybody to be manipulated by whatever he says, and he decides that he's going to run for president, and he just says, you know, my name's John Doe, vote for me, I'm a nice guy. So everybody gets the subliminal message that he's a nice guy, and everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to vote for him, he's a nice guy. And he's looking at the polling records, and he's like, why are there these small pockets of people who are I'm not polling well with? And his political advisor is like, oh, those are Amish people, they don't have access to telephones. So he gets on to his little device that brainwashes everybody and says, don't buy the Amish quilts. They are poor quality. Just because they're immune to his power, he's going to wreck their economy. He's that evil. That's why I love him.
That is cold.
Yeah. So you got? Have you guys seen any of this stuff?
I maybe saw one or two episodes back in the day.
I know, LT, you've seen them all, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
Did you have a favorite episode?
They all just sort of blend together after a while. I mean, I seem to recall that there was an episode with Zod. There was a couple episodes with Zod.
Yeah, he wasn't called Zod. He was called Lord Nor. He was a Zod ripoff.
Yeah.
And that dude was also Zod. Pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
He had a very deadpan delivery. Like, season four is when they actually get supervillains who actually have decent plans on how to take care of Superman. You know, skip over seasons one, two, and three, except for the Christmas episodes.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, you can really skip over. You can skip a lot of these, but every once in a while, there is that fun thing. So if you have a TV star Love Boat style that you want to see, you know, star in an episode, just look for TV stars you like. Like Jonathan Frakes was pretty entertaining. Bronson Pinchot was funny. And, of course, everyone loves Sherman Helmsley. That was a really entertaining episode. One of my favorite little bits on Smallville was how Lois Lane was condescending to the Kents. I remember one episode she's visiting, and she goes, "Hey, do you guys have a fax machine?" And Ma Kent looks over and goes, "Fax machine?" And she's thinking for a second, and Lois goes, "Oh, it's like a telephone that takes a picture." But then that picture gets sent to – and she goes – yeah, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm just wondering if I have paper for the fax machine. I know what a fax machine is. And she pulls a chicken, the fax machine cozy, which is a chicken off the fax machine, which I thought was hilarious. She made a fax machine cozy.
Terry Hatcher, for some reason, got less hot as the series went along. I don't know how that was possible.
You want to see a hot Terry Hatcher, you have to see one of the greatest underrated films of all time.
Tango and Cash, of course.
No, Brain Smasher.
Yo, what?
Yeah, Brain Smasher. Mike, you look like you haven't seen this one.
Wow.
Josh, would you like to give us a little backstory on the Brain Smasher?
Wow. First of all, what was Andrew Dice Clay as a private detective.
In the oh, wait a second. Is this the one with the ninjas?
Ever. Yes.
They're not ninjas. They are monks. We trained for 40 years in the backwoods of China, and you call us ninja?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying this now that you mention it.
Monks would do something. Yeah. All their other monk friends would golf clap. I love that.
I got to say, both of his ridiculous films, also The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, greatly underrated.
Incredibly underrated. People just didn't like the guy. They didn't even dislike the guy because no one knows the guy. They disliked the character. Yeah. I thought it was those were hilarious.
I liked Ford Fairlane, and I don't remember Brain Smasher, though.
Watch Brain Smasher.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Speaking of underrated classics, this month, and this month only probably, Netflix has picked up The Fifth Element. Fifth Element on Netflix this month.
That is a pretty movie. Fifth Element underrated?
I think a lot of people don't think highly enough of The Fifth Element. You know, people, it doesn't come up in like really good sci-fi movies. I don't think it gets its due. Chris, what's his name, is hysterical in that movie.
Chris Rock? No.
Chris Rock. Yeah.
It's not Chris Rock.
The other one.
It's
not Chris Rock.
Guy from Friday.
Yeah.
And from
Chris Tucker.
Jack movies. Chris Tucker.
Yeah, Chris Tucker.
You got knocked the fuck out!
Yeah. Friday, a fantastic film. Fifth Element, I love The Fifth Element. I can't believe even people. I don't even understand people who don't hold that film in high esteem. I just assumed everyone just felt that movie was awesome and they could watch it 1,000 times in a row, just like I did.
It is a very pretty film.
It doesn't have the fan base that a lot of other one shots have had.
Yeah, his follow up, the other one, was not very good. It was very pretty, Valerian. It was very pretty, but it was not. There was no rhythm and flow to that movie whatsoever.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. It feels like we're going off on a tangent, and I know Josh has a great tangent this week. Josh, what's your tangent?
I do have a great tangent. Did I tell you a tangent and I forgot it?
You did.
What is it?
I've been preparing for it all week.
You have?
If different characters from your stupid Game of Thrones movie, TV show, were characters on Seinfeld, who would they be?
Right. You got to cast Seinfeld as Game of Thrones characters.
No, Game of Thrones characters is Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, so I want the mouth is Newman, because I don't think Newman gets enough respect.
I think Hot Pie is Newman.
All right. I think we can all agree that Elaine is Sansa, right? No, she's Cersei.
She's Cersei.
Yeah, you gotta be a little more likable.
Cosmo Kramer's the Hound.
Because watch him come like.
I see Jerry as Theon Greyjoy.
Jerry's a tough one.
They're all super egotistical, so you gotta go with people who are super egotistical.
Yeah, Jerry, I don't think you do.
Littlefinger is gonna have to be George Costanza.
No. Come on. Tyrion is George.
Oh, Tyrion. Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrion. Yeah. I think Jerry would have to be what was the guy that was on the wall?
No, so if Tyrion is Costanza, then Seinfeld is Bronn.
Yeah.
There's no way we need Bronn Tyrion as the as some sort of combo.
No, Bronn is George Steinbrenner.
Yes.
Fine.
Oh my god. Then you could cast actually Cersei and Jaime as George's parents.
I wanted Jaime to be Jose Canseco. I'm Jose Canseco. Especially if we had Elaine as Cersei.
And Brienne of Tarth is actually.
Putty?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Buddy? Who's Buddy?
Buddy.
Oh, Buddy.
Warburton's character.
Hi, everybody. I'm Buddy.
Paintball. That's exactly it, Mike. Paintball. You totally read
Good
my fucking
mind. You got that one,
that
Buddy.
Perfect.
I haven't cast that well since I said Joe Pesci should be Uncle Ben.
What do you got there? Some great responsibility. You know what comes with that? Number four chicken. Joe Pesci, king of the non sequiturs.
So would
you're
the
not
soup
good
Nazi
at impressions.
Be Hodor?
Yes.
Who's Hodor?
Soup Nazi.
No, the soup Nazi is Qyburn. The bad guy who makes the mountain, the undead mountain.
I haven't gotten that far.
I like Hodor being the super Nazi.
Yeah?
Because he just kind of says the same thing all the time.
No soup for you.
I guess so. You gotta shorten it, though. No soup for you, no soup for you, no soup, no. No soup you, no soup you.
No soup. No soup.
No soup you. No soup you. No soup you.
No soup
you. Okay.
That would be a whole episode. What is he saying?
No soup you. No soup you. No soup you. They have to have a flashback to the first time they went there when you use full sentences.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll acquiesce.
Good man.
You obviously have been thinking about it all week. What do you guys got?
I had my one. I just want the mountain to be Newman so he doesn't have to take so much shit. Newman? Yes. Nothing? Looking good? Nothing. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Delivering that mail. Good for you.
Arya could be the Vulva, because she could be anyone.
This girl
is not named Mulva.
Vulva.
Mulva.
Mulva.
I gotta finish up this. I'm only up to I've seen some. I'm that guy. I'm not. I never dissed Game of Thrones. I always thought it was terrific. I just never had time to watch it. You know, I'm a poor person. I never wanted to pay money for it because have a value of a dollar, but now that it's almost over, I think I'll get Game of Thrones for like 2 months and just go through it. Has anyone else not watched the whole thing?
I haven't. I've only seen the first three seasons.
I have not seen any of this season, so please don't spoil anything for me.
I'll spoil anything for you.
I've literally now seen 5 episodes, so.
I am caught up.
I am looking forward to the Red Wedding. I hope it's really cool. Because everyone talks about it. I'm like, wow, it must be a great party.
It is.
It is. Yeah, it's a great party.
Oh, God. Soup and. Ain't no party like a Red Wedding party, because a Red Wedding party never quits. Woo. See that? I'm raising the roof. You know why I can do that?
Because you handed that off, foisted that off on somebody else, you cold-hearted bastard.
That's right.
I want Ned Stark to be Jerry Seinfeld. No, Baratheon. the dad. Because that dude's funny.
He's funny. I give you that.
Funny.
Yeah, what's the Baratheon's first name?
Robert Baratheon? You mean the first king?
Yeah, Robert.
I do like that actor.
Yeah, he was awesome in The Full Monty.
Yes.
Who's the annoying little shit that became king for a while? Got poisoned later?
Joffrey.
He can be Bubble Boy.
By the way, have you guys seen the Sesame Street Game of Chairs?
Yes. Loved it.
Oh.
When Grover accidentally eliminates Joffrey, he tells him, wow, you really choked on that. I mean, it's just so awesome. That's all I get to say.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Sesame Street deeps dive into pop culture and really takes whatever they want and makes it their own. The most blatant and crazy example to me was they took Naughty by Nature's Oh Me So Horny. This is not a joke, by the way. And turned it into Oh Me So Happy and made it into a song that Naughty by Nature sang on Sesame Street. Talk about reappropriating cultural phenomenon towards a child-friendly environment. I mean, that's got to be like one of the craziest examples I've ever heard of. Just saying, it's kind of my deal. I'm the social justice guy. It's some of the stuff I pay attention to.
Wait, Tom, you're talking about social justice on this podcast?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
It's happened in so long.
There's my little bit. Reappropriation of things that used to be total taboo as part of the norm now. Salt and Pepper has an entire children's album out now, which is really very cute. And they used to be thought of as too vulgar for mainstream TV. Just saying. They're moms now, so
yeah.
We all kind of mellow. Speaking of getting mellow, this is a delicious drink. I'm kind of enjoying Famous Grouse now that I'm 3 in. It seems to get better.
The more you drink.
The better it tastes.
That's got to be our new meme. The more you drink with the da-da-da.
Yeah, well, there you go, Tom. That should be your next fiver.
Oh, I'm going to be working on that. Mikey, I guess we're going to move on to some upcoming stuff that we're doing, otherwise known as plugs. Who's got some plugs for us?
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can go to kirbycracklemusic.com or get their music off of iTunes and Bandcamp. We'd also like to thank our fellow podcasters. I keep on saying whosnext.com, but it's whosnextgaming.com. Sorry for that, Seth. Those guys over there are doing the Lord's work. They are watching bad video game movies, so we don't have to. Go over there and check out that podcast and their regular podcast. It'll satisfy all your gaming and sex robot needs. Although they haven't talked about sex robots in a while.
We'll have to call in.
Yeah.
And it's semi-savage.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Grouses. Grouses, an underappreciated bird.
I'm going to go full-on self-promo today and say check out beertube.com. Also, Epic Nerd Camp is coming up June 28th to July 2nd. And then after that, Con of Thrones, July 12th, both of which I'll be teaching sword classes at. So go to those. Come meet me, and I will kill you with a sword.
He will. He's very, very good. Tommy, anything to...
I would like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
Geekorthodox.com prepares a fine t-shirts and other geeky things.
All right. Didn't have to put a dollar in that time. Awesome.
Well, don't you?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Damn it. Lost it at the end there, guys.
So it begins.
So close.
Almost made it a week.
Almost made it a full week. I would just like to promote our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/or/ the long box guy. Take a look at all the stuff we're doing there. Also like to promote our Twitter page. That's the long box guys on Twitter. We talk about a lot of things, including professional wrestling, TV shows. We talked about, and we had a little thread going about the Lost Saucer, which was that Roof Buzzy Jim Neighbors TV show.
The kidnapping.
Mike points out, aren't they just two robots from the future that kidnap two children? Kind of.
They totally abduct those children. It was before Stranger Danger, because they just walk over and they're like, hey, come on our flying saucer. And the kids get on it with them. And they're like, once they get on, they're like, who are you? Like, that should have been your first question before you got on the flying saucer.
That's right. Not well-trained children.
But in their defense, if you watch the entire series, the flying saucer, the Lost Saucer, was sent back in time to protect the kids who were in terrible danger, and they have to save the future in the future. You have to watch 7 episodes to get to that.
Right.
Not worth it.
How do you know that wasn't the cover story that those flying saucer people put out later on?
Oh, by the way, you've been on the saucer because we have to protect the future, not just because we want our Dorse over here to have his way with you.
Yeah, get on my saucer.
Yeah. Get on my flying saucer. Go, holy! Do a drink every time Jim Neighbors says golly.
Anyway. He sure got a pretty mouth.
Jim Neighbors, what else do I remember him from? Was it Gomer Pyle? What was his catchphrase?
Shazam! You just wanted to hear me say it. I just wanted to say it, so it's okay.
So you should also check out our YouTube channel. I was working on doing a Moon Knight video from one of our old podcasts, but upon listening to it, I was like, oh, that's the one where I had the mic too close to me and I was breathing, and it sounds like Darth Vader was our guest star.
It doesn't sound like Darth Vader's our guest star. It sounds like you're masturbating.
No. That's a different podcast.
Okay. You know what? I think you can do the last podcast that we did for the Patreon page, I think I can do as a video, and I've been working on it because we talk about so many action figures in that one that I think I might be able to throw together something for that. So I've been working on that this week, and hopefully I'll have something up in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
Cool.
Great.
Because everyone likes action figures. That was a fun one to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those of you not getting all of these, our Patreon page has an extra podcast every week called The GOAT, Greatest of All Time, where we talk a little bit more about pop culture phenomena that are connected to comic books and superheroes. And last week we talked about really strange action figures, and we had a great time with that.
Mm-hmm. And just a quarter a week will get you access to that.
Quarter a week, 33 cents every week in 3 days. It's like a dollar a month.
That's exactly what it is. It's not like it. It is exactly a dollar a month.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mikey, my friend, what is this podcast like to you?
Well, before we go to that, I would like to recommend everybody go out and check out the Hellboy movie. Not because it's good, but because we're going to review it.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah, you guys are such... You guys are such haters. That was a fun movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Save it for the next podcast.
I'm just saying.
We're going to review it later.
I said it was a fun movie. And I stand by my spoiler.
This is like drunk history, but for comics.
And Josh, you're going to be teaching Game of Thrones Con. You're going to be teaching Longsword. Nashville, that must be your sector.
Nashville, Tennessee will be my sector.
Boom. And I'll be at a bunch of breweries up in Portsmouth. That's got to be your sector, too.
You're going to be in Portland, and everybody is my sector.
Damn right it is. And Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. Tommy, who I love. Any last words for us?
Look, this may not be the movie spoiler podcast that you desire, but it is definitely the movie spoiler podcast you deserve.
Goddamn right it is. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Try to promote what you love. You're going to live longer. I love everybody, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Latest Scooby-Doo team-up has McGill a gorilla.
You lucky bastard.
It's like everything you want out of a comic, isn't it, Mike?
That's exactly what I'm like. I'm such an easy mark.
How does Mike die of joy?
Is there a gorilla on the cover of this comic book? I need this.